It's Friday, the 18th of May, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is another edition of InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight,
They rape your privacy on the phone. They rape your privacy on the email. They rape your daughter in the airport. They rape your son in schools. How long are you going to sit and put up with heat rape?
Alex Jones speaks with FBI translator and 9/11 whistleblower Cybele Edmonds. Then, the war against our children. Another child is ripped from its parents and fed psychotropic drugs by Child Protective Services. Plus, Chicago prepares for the invasion of NATO as 40 federal agents man secret command centers outside the city. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Coming up first, we're going to look at Obama and the absolute proof on top of proof that he was not born in this country and is being blackmailed. And then some very painful information we have to cover, but please bear with us for this. Warning, though, you probably don't want your children watching this. Well, maybe you do, so they understand that how criminal the state is and how they're preying on them. So I guess children do have to see this, even though it's dangerous and scary and frightening, so that they understand that they cannot trust the system, they cannot trust their teachers, they cannot trust their doctors, they can trust no one but their parents, because we are living in a total New World Order, Soviet/fascist nightmare where they've combined every system of authoritarianism, giant kidnapping rings, murdering children in mass coming up. I'm not kidding. You're going to see total proof of this. Shakes me to my very core. I spent most of the radio show today on this. That's coming up. First off, let's look at Barack Obama. I wasn't a birther 4.5 years ago. I was like, really? Born in Kenya? I mean, why would they do that? Then I learned that Hillary had used it against him. She'd brought it forward because she had all the FBI dossiers. The Clintons still run Washington, basically. So they're in their third term through blackmailed Obama. And I learned all the background. His wife, Michelle, in speeches saying he was born in Kenya. They visited his homeland. We've played those clips before. Just type in Michelle says that Obama visited his homeland, Kenya. You'll get the video clips. It's all over the place. His fake first birth certificate, the second fake one was ridiculously fake. A 5-year-old made it. I mean, it's unbelievable, with a fake typewriter font where all the typewriter fonts are the same when each one is different. The fact that he was Barry Sotero, and they denied that in Indonesia, and then later they went, oh yeah, he was Barry Sotero, and, you know, got Indonesian citizenship. You can only give up your U.S. citizenship and get that at the time. It's all on record. All the weirdness, the CIA family, all of it. Why would they want someone who wasn't a U.S. born to blackmail him and to get everybody involved in a lie so big that no one would want to challenge it? Because all the laws he signed on to in the last 3.5 years, they're null and void. That's the big enchilada right there. That's the big kahuna. Paul Watson has a big article breaking all of this down at InfoWars.com. But Breitbart broke it yesterday. It turns out his literary agent, his publicist that he still uses from 91 to 2007, that's 16.5 years, said that he was born in Kenya and then lived in Indonesia and Hawaii. Well, that's what our research shows. And you got researchers going over there and trying to see his birth certificate and being detained and arrested like Dr. Corsi. You've got things going on there as well. I mean, I'm just giving you some background right now. Bush, we later learned, this is official State Department. It's public info. It's in our article. Evidence Obama born in Kenya goes beyond 1991 brochure. And you learn that Obama, the Bush administration sent their ambassador to find out to the Kenyans. They said, was he born here? Because Hillary's saying this. And they said, yeah, we've gone to the birth files. It's been cut out. It appears to be a criminal action. So you don't cut out records that weren't there. You understand that? Oh, well, he's not there. Well, don't cut it out. They cut it out. And so it just piles up. And then, boom, for 16-plus years, they put out different publications, including promotion of his book, Dreams of My Father, saying born in Kenya, first president of the law review who was black at Harvard. I mean, this is wild. Born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia. And there's the Breitbart watermark on there. And the media came out and said, you know what? It's a typo. You're right. For 16-plus years, we said this. I mean, folks, this is in publications every month promoting him. This is in big magazines. This is everywhere and never corrected it. I mean, give me a break. if the media said in the New York Times or Washington Post that I was born in Russia or born in China or born in Timbuktu, I would go on air and say, correct that. Man, we are in deep trouble. I mean, I already knew he wasn't born here and we don't know who he really is. He's got all these other fake names and all his records are sealed. But to really come to grips with, wow, we're right again. You know, I want to be wrong. You understand? I don't want it to be so bad. I don't want this to be true. We're the only teleprompter-free news in the country. You think I'm happy about that? Oh, we're the only teleprompter-free. Wow, that makes us different. Wow, we'll be successful. It means nothing I have 15 viewers and listeners a week. 3 million a day. It's conservative. It's over 1.5 million now on the websites every day. You think I'm glad about that? Well, I'm glad I can reach people, but it's not about Alex Jones, folks. It's about you taking action and you doing little things every day that'll bring these people down. People are like, well, big deal if he's born in Kenya. What's the big deal? Folks, he's totally compromised. The Clintons wanted to beat him. Then they found out about this and blackmailed him at Bilderberg. I was there covering it. About to go again in a couple weeks, a week and a half. I can't believe this is already upon us. You think I'm happy to go to Bilderberg? I got to do it. It's a responsibility. You think it's fun? I don't want to scare you, folks, the stuff I went through last time. This is real is what I'm saying. That just blows me away. Within hours of this, the text editor of the big PR firm that he still is listed with came out and said, oh, I'm sorry, it's a mistake. That's where this whole rumor came from. Really, no one knew about this the last 4.5 years. It was all the other fake documents. So don't say the birther rumor came from your original information that was wrong. You understand how they spin things? I mean, what a transparent spin right there. The vetting, exclusive, Obama literary agent, 91 booklet, born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii. It doesn't get any more bombshell than that. Now, let's shift gears to what was my top story for over 2.5 hours, or right at 2.5 hours, of the daily radio show. Yeah, teleprompter free, folks. I'm going to stumble sometimes. Actually using the old noggin, not stuff the CIA writes and I read off a teleprompter. Think about this. We supposedly live in the freest country in the world, and we have 7+ million people in the prison system, double what China has with 1.3 million people. They have 1,300,000,000 people. We have 310 million people in our country, the most wealthy, powerful country in the world because we had basic liberty. It created incredible wealth. Now we've been taken over by the globalist parasites, and China, who has 1,300,000,000 people, has half the prisoners the United States has with 310 million. They've got like 9 times our population, roughly, and they have half the prisoners we have. This is not freedom. The CIA admitting they're spying on us without warrants and operating domestically illegally, that's not freedom. Streetlights going up nationwide with your taxpayer money to listen to you and watch you, and the system saying, yeah, we're watching you and listening to you, better shut up. Banning free speech and protests in Chicago because the globalists are coming to town. That's not freedom. TSA sticking their hands down your pants. IRS taking houses without warrants or due process or real courts or proof for the Federal Reserve. Fraud. Banks taking people's houses when they fully own them without deeds. Total fraud. We're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in the Republic anymore. People go, well, don't bash America. I'm not. I want to get our Republic back. And to do that, we've got to admit just how serious things have gotten, just how hardcore things are. Now, I was supposed to be in a debate this morning with Tucker Carlson on the radio at 7 a.m. on a syndicated radio show, Bubba the Love Sponge. And I was watching videos on InfoWars and got so upset when I saw this first video of a little girl, 3 years old, healthy and happy in videos, and like a Skeletor concentration camp victim with pus coming out of her eyes and black teeth and totally skinny after CPS grabbed her for no reason. This is in Houston. This is on Fox News. And put her on antipsychotic drugs that literally eat your brain. I got so upset that I didn't even do the I just forgot about the debate and went, you know, I already knew about all this. I already know they drug over two-thirds of foster children, kill thousands a year just in Texas alone. There's been WOAI TV investigations, but nothing's ever done. The Texas Youth Commission, they had public rapings where people went and paid at the CPS facilities to rape small children. That all came out 5 years ago. Nobody got in trouble for that. And all this stuff's just flashing back all over the country. 3,400 kids missing, CNN reported in Florida. Many of them found dead in CPS custody. I mean, all flying them out of the country to Saudi Arabia. Again, there's so much evil, I can't keep track of it all. And so I see this, and it's like a flashback. It's like post-traumatic. I'm being hit with all this stuff, and I go, okay, I'm going to cover this today, but I just can't show this Fox News video out of Houston. I've got to go show them some of the background. So I start sending stories to the guys about them taking little kids and testing pesticides and radiation on them a few years ago. This isn't going on in the 50s till they die, and U.S. troops being put in chambers to be nerve gassed and murdered. And I'm thinking, my God, this government is so criminal. How did I ever deny to myself just how out of control this is? I'm not hardcore enough. I'm not doing enough. And it just kept hitting me and hitting me and hitting me and hitting me and hitting me. That we live in a crazy Twilight Zone episode. But, I mean, Hitler killing tens of millions, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, Fidel Castro. It goes on and on. This is the norm with the scum we let get in control and do what they say, because in our evolutionary development or whatever you want to call it, we do what the leader says. We believe the chief wants the tribe to survive. That was the case 10,000 years ago. It's not the case today. And we've got to grow up and realize this. I mean, you look at the stuff that Hitler and Mao and them did. I mean, it's like, why would Mao kill 60-plus million people in just a few years? Because he could. He did all these evil things to get into power so he could do that. A psychopath that kills a few hundred when they're just a general is going to kill a million when he gets in charge. Don't you understand that? They do it because they like it. They do it because they enjoy it. They're like, Jeffrey Dahmer, why'd you kidnap little kids and torture them and inject them in the brain to make them sex zombies? He's because I like it. Ted Bundy, why'd you do that? John Wayne Gacy, why'd you do that? Because I like it. Why'd you grab teenagers and torture them and kill them? Because I like to. They're just psychos that get in control, and they hire other psychos and create these giant colony creature guilds against us. Good people have to get together. See, good people are not joiners. We're not looking for power. We just want to be happy and good. We're not malfunctioning. We're not cancer cells. But what happens on the low level, a small microscopic level, happens on the giant level. And so as a globe with this skin of life growing on the surface of it in this thin atmosphere, the planosphere does have a cancer. The globalists are always saying humanity's a cancer, needs to be killed. They're actually the cancer. The tiny group of elite are malfunctioning and keeping the human destiny from fully reaching its potential. They are the cancer. They act just like it. A normal person who doesn't have degenerate programming is like, you want to wear black uniforms and beat people and spy on folks and have big martial parades and give each other awards all day? I don't want that. That's because you're normal. But for them, it's beautiful. Do you understand that? And so I saw this report we're going to get to at the end of this, where they grab people because the parents smoke marijuana or whatever. And you know when you go in to get a medical procedure now, they do a blood test? They don't tell you you have a right to remain silent without a warrant or getting your blood. It's all through the health departments that were eugenics departments set up in 1910, 1915, depending on the city, depending on the state, where they're all spying on you. That's when you have a baby, you got plenty of money, you're doing all right, oh, we're making ends meet, coming for your kids. Because you're poor now, see, and they want your kid. They're hunting you. They're after you. This is the system. Now, conservative estimates of the million-plus children grabbed a year, over 50,000 nationwide end up dying in government custody. We've got the numbers up in articles at Infowars.com. Now, just bad drug interactions are over 100,000 a year, the government admits. 69% or over two-thirds are put on psychotropics, an average of 7, including antipsychotics that cause permanent brain damage. And you see these children, I mean, they kill them. Once they start having the convulsions after 7 drugs, then they put them on anticonvulsants. They know in actuaries it's going to kill a large percentage. They then even take insurance policies out in the government on them, like Walmart does with those greeters. Oh, it's so nice. They hire the old lady. You wonder why she looks like she's about to die. They know in actuaries the payout. They can put a couple mil on her. The family never even knows about it. And when she dies while she's working with them, they take the insurance. Oh, you thought they hired the 81-year-old lady who looks like she's about to die on a cane to say hi to you? She's there to die to make them some insurance cash. oh, but they're cold-blooded. See, you're not ready to wake up to the full horror, so you're not going to be able to resist them. Knowing is half the battle. The devil's greatest trick was he didn't exist. So I'm sorry this is so hardcore, but this is the facts. Now, first I thought we would, before we get into all this evidence of the current stuff, Bayer Corp Science, Crop Life America, Human Pesticide Testing Policy. And I first learned about this 6 years ago in a New York Daily News article that's been taken down now, but we have it saved at Infowars.com, where they were taking little black kids, I mean others, but mainly blacks, and testing pesticides on foster children until they died. And the little kids would try to escape, 1 7-year-old, and they strapped him down and gave him the pesticides and killed him. And the CPS workers had a moment of clarity and came out and said, we're not going to do this, and tattled. They got fired. The killing continues. So there is that report. I can show you a document cam shot of that. And Bayer Corp Science plotted human pesticide testing policy. And when this came out in 05, they were killing people with pesticides. They tried to get a law passed or a policy passed that they could do that. And we have links. Just type in foster children pesticide. You'll get all the mainstream news. But they're like, oh, it was kind of not nice to kill them, but they did. Nobody gets in trouble. Okay. Here's another one. This is Associated Press, saved at Infowars.com. It's part of the First Amendment to defend us against tyranny. Feds tested AIDS drugs on foster kids, lethal ones. You know, it's the AIDS drugs mainly killing people. These are like hardcore, basically chemotherapy drugs. Again, this all broke in 05. The rabbit hole went very, very deep. This is Organic Consumers Association alert EPA to allow pesticide testing on orphans and mentally handicapped children. Again, that's after they got caught, like when Bush got caught spying without warrants or torturing, which was illegal. He tried to then get it legalized. Remember, that's standard policy, so there's the Associated Press. Here's the Israel Insider we have saved. In my film Endgame, we have local news, Israeli newscasts. 110,000 children were radiated. Over 40,000 of them died. They have different dosages. The U.S. paid for this. They would take the brown-skinned Sephardic, not the Ashkenazi, and radiate them to death, murdering them, many of them on the spot. They'd actually cook them onto the table. And don't worry, I've got the Department of Energy admits from the 40s through the 80s, now it's all secret, radiating children. They put little babies, foster babies, in these basters and hit them with such high-powered radiation that in some of these reports they would actually be cooked onto the metal. That's nice government, though. They wouldn't stage 9/11. Everything is fine. And again, a government employees union tell EPA don't expose kids to pesticide experiments. And that's peer.org. EPA scientists, you can go read that in press releases. Actually, EPA scientists have come out 3 separate times, 90%+ of them, thousands signing doctors, chemists, you name it, saying don't put sodium fluoride in the water. Causes cancer, but you know what? They're not going to stop because they love killing you too much. Here it is, WOAI. We saved this at the time. That's why we save it. It's down now. 2 out of 3 foster children in Texas on psychotropic medication. A doctor in the system here, we played the newscast at the time, went public and said, yeah, I've seen kids come in totally healthy, and within 6 months, they're on 7 drugs. Within a year, they're on anti-convulsion drugs, and then they die. So they, because they get more money when they make them special needs. And if you're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you cry for mommy when they take you into a big, dirty facility with all these other kids raping you, 7 times more likely to be sexually abused, Justice Department's own numbers and CPS care, 7 times more likely to get an STD, 5 times more likely to be generally abused. When you come out, 5 times more likely to end up beginning up in prison. Unless you become a CPS worker. The weird thing is a lot of them become CPS workers because it's part of the pedophile network they're now part of. So we've got a guest audience today. Aaron's mom's here today. I'm afraid she's hearing for a particularly hardcore show. But and you're down from Houston way, aren't you? You're down in Sugar Land. Right by you in Houston's one of their main kidnapping facilities. Good to see you, though. Good. We have the Endgame video. Before we go to more articles, let me just show you. When we were exposing this in 07, and I had medical doctors and others on, people like Dr. Breeding were, he's a psychologist, were at the state hearings. He said, you need to go dig it up. I was there. There should be an online video. The head of the state board, the head psychiatrist said, yeah, we do have 2/3 of the kids on psychotropics. Suzanne Hupp, representative, you know, she survived the Luby shooting. She said, hey, 2/3 are on these drugs and they're dying from them. And how do you just take little kids and put them on drugs that aren't even approved for people? you know, under the age of 10. He goes, they come from bad gene pools. A eugenics answer. So let's go to a clip from Endgame.
The United States and England are currently testing pesticides and highly toxic experimental drugs on tens of thousands of healthy foster children, many of which die as a result of the experiments. By 2007, more than 20% of the U.S. population were on some type of prescription antidepressant. But in the case of foster children, a sector where the state has total control, at least two-thirds are forced to take a cocktail made up of, on average, seven psychotropic drugs. Chairman of the Texas Society of Psychiatric Physicians, Joe Burkett, testified before the State House Select Committee hearing on psychotropic drugs in foster care and shocked the public when he said that two-thirds of foster children in Texas had been placed on psychiatric drugs because they were very, very sick from a bad gene pool.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions. Besides the gene pools, they've then been traumatized by abuse, neglect, and problems, and then they've been traumatized by separation, and all those things predispose to mental illness.
The Western world is now implementing eugenics pre-crime policies. Fetuses are now being pre-screened according to family histories of crime. From Portland, Oregon.
When I was in the movie theater and first showed Endgame, people laughed, and then I showed more articles, London Guardian, where they drug the woman to get the baby, and it's drugs that cause brain damage. Three U.S. states have been doing it for 5 years. Oregon was the first, and now England's doing it. And at birth, they put cameras in many of the homes now of parents in a pre-crime. And if you ever do anything wrong, they go throw them in a big dirty dungeon with pedophiles. I'm not kidding. Again, this is what's all going on under everybody's nose. My words cannot describe to you what I've personally seen fighting these people. And I'll be honest, it was so horrific that I had to quit or I would have become violent. I had to quit going and physically looking at them, because when you're in a room with a bunch of them laughing with a crying family for no reason and the kid's crying and they're getting off on it and you can tell they're taking the kid off to rape them, let me tell you something. I mean, let me tell you this, and by the way, this is freaking you out, it should. This is going on everywhere right now, over a million kids they get. And they always have ads and TV, oh, this was a bad parent beating their kid. There are bad parents, but they're many times more likely to be abused by the system. You understand? Statistically, it's a no-brainer. 5 to 7 times better off getting rid of the CPS entirely. In the old days, if somebody saw somebody really hurt their kid, there were criminal charges. Or in the old days, if your neighbor saw you really hurting your kid, you come over, hey, Bill, you shouldn't be doing that. You got a problem at work. You want to do that to me. And that's what it's come down to. The state is a bunch of scum. And look, all the literature, they say they got bad gene pools. Eugenics never went away. You know, that's what Hitler did. He got it from the U.S. and England. 35 states, if you made less than a B-plus in school, they sterilized you. Endgame, I have copies of the newsreels and the report cards. Have you forgotten all this? See, they don't tell you this on the news, folks. That's why this show is so valuable. That's why I've gotten so angry and aggressive. Because refocusing on this, literally, I feel like I could kick the butt of about 20 people right now. And that's my normal instinct when children are being hurt by a saber-toothed tiger or by a tribe that's invaded your area. It's time to stomp and go after some people. That's a normal instinct. How did you lose your normal instinct that when you hear a baby squeal, whether it's a bear or whatever, our ancestors killed cave bears twice the size of grizzlies with their bare hands and with spears. Our ancestors defeated all of what nature challenged them with our minds and our guts. And now look what we've become. We let our own species do this to us. I don't know what's wrong with you out there, but it's time to get angry. It's time to recognize the enemy, and it's time to come after them. In the info war, to identify them as the criminal guilds they are. And it's time to ask God to lead us and guide us and direct us in the prosecution of a war against these people. Like I said last week, their genocide against us starts now. We're fighting back. The war has begun. And when they kill us and shut us down and persecute us, it only makes us stronger. We're drawing the enemy out. How can you sit there and worry about your reputation and your career while they're raping kids right now? And those kids are begging for help, just like Kelly Thomas begging for his daddy as a full-grown man, as the wolves tortured him to death. None of us are safe until we stand up. What is wrong with you? I know, sodium fluoride, massive brainwashing, it doesn't matter. You still got the human destiny in you. You still got the instincts, and they can override all that right now. My problem is I got even more here. Look at this. Texas foster care investigation. Child as young as three are drugged with antipsychotics. Folks, you can't even give these unless it's state-approved to psychotic people because they eat your brain. We got that report. And here's the one that sent me back down the rabbit hole of looking at all this information. Three-year-old CPS are overprescribed psychotic drugs. Overprescribed? They're not even approved in people under 10, antipsychotics. Under 5, they don't care. Hundreds of thousands are on it. Over two-thirds, they take little kids, and when you cry, the big, fat demons, they don't feel like raping them, which is most of them. They just sit there and warehouse them. And it's I got articles where they're drowning all the time, being killed, being raped, being sold into sex slavery. CNN reported like 5 years ago, 3,000-plus missing kids in Florida, and they sort of find them with their heads chopped off in different countries and in graves. The story just went away. I mean, the big thing is they fly these little kids out and torture them and rape them. And I'm bad because I don't like that. I'm bad because I still got red blood and will face the reality. I'm bad. No, you're bad out there making jokes about this. Let me tell you, those that serve this evil consciously are one thing, and they're going to get theirs. But those of you that think all this is funny, let me tell you, that's why you're so miserable and cursed. Let me tell you, you will be brought to justice one way or another. I know it, okay? I have total certainty. In fact, okay, let's just stop right there. You've got a compilation of videos, don't you, dude? There's so many. Let's go to a compilation. You can watch the whole thing at MyFox. Three-year-olds and CBS care overprescribed psychiatric drugs. It's like, oh, the robber overprescribed bullets he shot into the child's body. He shot him 50 times. He only should have shot the child 5 times. You know, or you know, the robber only hacked the child up with you know, should have hit him with a hatchet 6 times instead of 45 times. You know, let's go to a compilation of these. I've always told you, I mean, I've seen the CPS. It's either fat, pot-bellied, little skinny mustache pedophile archetype men. That's a small drone sect. It's mainly giant fat women. Half the brigades are black. Another 40% are white brigade of pot-bellied women, giant people. I mean, I'm not bashing fat people, just they're all, it's always the same. I've fought these people. They always gibber, giggle, love it when families cry, suck up the pain. Well, they're psychic vampires. That's what they are. They're psychic vampires. And of course, these demons are going to wonder why they get cancer when they're 42. I mean, in fact, I can tell you right now, these women, you know, I mean, you know, enjoy your life because you've got an express elevator to hell. Okay? But that's who these people are. Yeah, it's faces of death. And again, nothing against people that are fat from all the poison GMOs, the rest of it, Lord knows I've been. I'm saying, I've never seen a CPS worker that didn't look like a brain bug from Starship Troopers. Okay? And I mean, that's all I've got to say. And that's because it's a spiritual thing. And again, I've been in the courts. The enjoyment that they get is incredible. Let's go to the faces of death, what they do to a little girl. I know I shouldn't talk bad about them because they're the little girl they keep grabbing because the mommy got tested positive for marijuana or whatever. You know, no criminal record. Kid's fine. This is what you do to them. And then you put the kid on a bunch of drugs and turn him into a drooling zombie. Let's go to the crimes against little girls right now.
Here's a picture of Rachel that was taken 1 week before CPS took custody of her. Here she is in January, after 6 months in CPS's care.
Well, every time we'd go to see her at visitation,
she
would get skinny and she'd, you know, just be lethargic, not wanting to move, not wanting to say hi, and just sort of sit in the corner and just keep to herself.
Not even play.
And that's not her.
She would be drooling at the mouth, her tongue would be hanging out, and I asked them, I said, is she on drugs? They said no.
But in a January court hearing, CPS admitted that the then three-year-old was put on a number of psychotropic drugs, including risperidone, a drug commonly used to treat schizophrenia.
They take her away.
That is the face of the New World Order. Suffer the little children, lest you be thrown into the deepest ocean with a millstone tied around your neck. And to watch how those women, CPS workers, laugh when they destroy families, they really enjoy the pain. It makes them feel big and powerful. And they are the abusers, statistically. They are the most dangerous group out there is the CPS. Let's just run through some more here. There's just too much. CPS involved in child trafficking. And it goes through people speaking out about state-sponsored kidnapping of her daughter. Amazing information. Continuing with other news, CPS warrior Nancy Schaefer gunned down. Associated Press, she'd called me a week before and said, in a few weeks I'm going to come on your show. I have evidence, she's state senator in Georgia at the time, a few years ago, that they are do have lists and they do have quotas and they're picking up kids for these rich families. And her husband committed suicide with firearms that weekend. Anybody believe that? Got a bridge. I am ready to sell you on Pluto. Here is a clip of the late senator clearly murdered by a mafia hit team because she wanted to cut in on their child trafficking operations.
For 4 years, I have been confronted with families struggling to remove their children from the clutches of Child Protective Services. I wrote a scathing report last year on the corruption in Child Protective Services, and an update, and copies are out on the table. The Department of Child Protective Services has become a protected empire built on taking children and separating families. This is not to say that there are not those children who do need to be removed from wretched situations and need protection. However, my report is concerned with the children and parents caught up in legal kidnapping. Having worked with probably 300 cases statewide and hundreds across the country, and in nearly every state, I am convinced there is no accountability in Child Protective Services. The Adoption and the Safe Families Act, set in motion first in 1974 by Walter Mondale and later in 1997 by President Bill Clinton, offered cash bonuses to the states for every child they adopted out of foster care. Some counties often offer $4,000 to $6,000 bonus for each child adopted out to strangers, and an additional $2,000 for a special needs child. Employees work to keep the federal dollars flowing. The National Center on Child Abuse and Neglect in 1998 reported that 6 times more children died in foster care than in the general public, and that once removed to official safety, these children are far more likely to suffer abuse, including sexual molestation, than in the general population. Think what that number is today, 10 years later.
She committed suicide with her husband a few weeks after that, and she called me. She said, I want to come on the next week. I've got the proof. This is incredible. Well, they knew you had the proof, honey, but you're in a better place than they're going. Well, that lady was so great. She was really hurting him in Georgia. I mean, she was really exposing him. All the kids they were killing and hurting and drugging, and they went over and they murdered her and her husband, something fierce. If they ever come to my house and kill me and my family, no, it's a lie. Gary Webb sent me a disc, and I wasn't very good at websites. You know, when he got killed, I had InfoWars, but it was a Pulitzer Prize winner. They said, can you make a website with all these documents? I want to put this on, and I never even got around to it. And, you know, that stuff was all public. It was this Pulitzer Prize-winning research. So don't send a hit team to kill me because you think I have some secret dossier. But he had a new book coming out to vindicate himself. And hell, now they grow the opium publicly in Afghanistan. And he had told myself and others, including Celica Steele and Ricky Ross, guys have been breaking in his house, you name it, he'd moved. He'd seen special forces types coming off his roof, going right down the drain pipes like in movies. And they came to his house, had him sign a letter that he was going to kill himself, and then shot him twice in the head. But it looks like at the end he struggled because they blew his jaw off and then shot him in the back of the head. And within minutes of the announcement, oh, it was suicide. It's always when you know it's staged. Breitbart, he had a heart attack. Minutes after we heard he was at the hospital. Just don't ask questions. About to release the fact that, you know, Obama was meeting with communists and Bill Ayers and others, and you're dead. We're so high profile, they haven't killed me yet. But, I mean, it's like they're torturing kids everywhere. How am I supposed to be afraid of being killed? I mean, it's like no-brainer. If you saw a gang of thugs beating a 5-year-old, I mean, most women I know, they saw five big men beating a 5-year-old. Most women I know would charge in and try to defend the child. What has happened to us as a society? I mean, we've got to face these people and damn the maneuvers. Go straight at them. I mean, this is not a debate anymore. Or just give up your humanity and roll over so you can watch TV and eat and have fun and go on a vacation. And people are like, yeah, sounds pretty good. I think I'll do that. Really? That's what life's about, is about being a big sack of crap? I mean, is that what it's really all about? It's being a mindless coward that just buys into a false reality and plays into what the controllers think while they hurt children? Well, fine. There's always a bunch of couch potatoes in history. Not me and not our viewers and listeners and compatriots, comrades, those that love liberty, men, women of every race, color, creed, and religion out there. We're coming straight on to the New World Order, and we're not backing down. We're taking them down. That's the end of it. No amount of scientific propaganda or fluoride is going to help you, New World Order. We're going to get you, and you know it. That's why you're scared. You're not arrogant like you were a few years ago. You're throwing it all in our face right now to acclimate us. And let me tell you something, you chicken-necked globalist psychologist, it ain't working, okay? I see you, and I see exactly what you are. You look like your last year's guacamole bowl. I see exactly what you are, and you look like the portrait of Mr. Gray. You look like a dead horse. All right. Here's one out of KLTV. Four-year-old drowns while in foster care. And I see these reports where they go, all the children will die. It's just the way it is in CPS care. Kids becoming nobody's children. Hillsborough, Florida, 9-year-old autistic girl went missing Saturday afternoon, according to Hillsborough County Sheriff's. She was autistic. Yeah, well, they find them in graves all the time. Doesn't matter. Because it's the government. You know, nobody's going to watch them. Father harassed by CPS for feeding kids organic food. Oh, yeah, they take vegans' kids all the time, too. Just any reason. There's no law. They just say, hey, it's all over the news. Police pull you over now, and even if you got $100 in your wallet, they take it. That's drug money. That's drug money right there. I'm going to take that from you right now. Roscoe Pico train. I wish we had Roscoe Pico train. He was a nice guy compared to this. Judge orders parents to vaccinate baby. That's in Australia. Brisbane Times, that's also happening here. There's no law, but they're a eugenics court. They're not a real court with due process. There's no jury here. Just some pervert judge. Continuing, a pediatrician calls state trooper child protective services on mother for refusing to vaccinate child. Another report right there. That's just some of what's going on, and they are killing thousands of kids a year. It is a holocaust. They are murdering them en masse. And are you their champion? Will you stand for them? Will you defend them? Will you not watch the baseball game tonight? Will you not go act tough with your buddies and walk out with tattoos? I'm not saying your tattoos are bad, but you know what I mean? Act tough at the bar and look at your motorcycle. I'm tough. And if you're like, ah, so what? They're killing some kids. I'm going to go see my girlfriend and act tough. Okay. Now you're aiding and abetting it. Now you're part of it. Because that's why I'm here. I'm here to make sure you were told and had a choice. Feel that little tingle back of your neck? That's your soul getting in the elevator to go straight to hell. You don't believe in hell? Your dark energy is going to go somewhere. And it sure isn't going to go towards the light, is it? I don't care what religion you are. There's good and evil, ladies and gentlemen. And you will pay. You're like, oh, I don't believe in religion, spirits. We're on a planet going through space here. You looked around you. Magic's all around you, ladies and gentlemen. This whole life is a test. I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. And I'm not going to even sit here and talk about it. But let me tell you something. This stuff's real. Devil went down to Georgia. That's real. It's all real. All right, let's go ahead and get into the news here tonight. NATO summit. They use G20, NATO, Fortune 500, any meeting of globalist crooks to shut down a city, hire provocateurs to break some windows so they can physically assault any peaceful protesters, and they get caught and they don't care. But they're just saying no protest allowed, no freedom. They're sound cannoning people randomly in Chicago as part of a public service announcement. They're now hitting them with stuff that damages your mental ear. And that's in the news. 40 federal agencies are now revealed in a secret command bunker, basically just training for martial law. So there's that report. Also, Chicago cop disappears. Activist ahead of NATO war council. Yeah, they always just go and arrest a bunch of activists as part of a martial law mini drill. And they even admit with the G20 when Rob got arrested, I was pointing they were snatching and grabbing men in uniforms, peaceful protesters, and throwing them in cars. That was a psyop to test the media so they didn't get away with snatch and grabs, which they now admit under the NDAA. And I got called, and the number, Rob Jacobson was here, he showed me, he goes, we got a call, this says G20 security. And I called, and they go, yeah, that's security. You're not getting another call. But that was not U.S. Army personnel. that grabbed those protesters. That was our security. And it turned out they were in command. Private, unnamed security commanded the army, the police, everybody. Everywhere they go, whether it's Australia or Canada or the U.S. or Germany or London, where they guys delivering newspapers a few years ago to a G20 summit to a little hole-in-the-wall shop. The film got released. He goes, I have newspapers. And they just beat him to death. The cops had a celebration of their power. It was their power. It was their power. It was their enjoyment. So there is that report, cops disappearing activists. Well, that sounds like freedom. What's wrong with that? I got to disappear people, and that's freedom. Undercover CPS or CPD, Chicago Police Department, cops don't like being filmed. We'll show you a clip of that. And then We Are Change talks to the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, Gary McCarthy, about agent provocateurs. He was going to do a press conference, but when he heard about provocateurs, I got one that can see. He's right here at the corner of 5th and Liberty. They're like, get out of there. And he's like, phew. That's what happens. When they see that you can see, they go, whoa, because their ether they swim in like a fish is ignorance. And they just love the fact you're blind. They love the fact you're not aware of them. Like barracuda. And until you wake up, they've just got you. It's like you're blind and these vampires can have their way with you. But the minute you wake up to history and your human potential and everything, you just go, phew, it's like they're like, no, shut down the web, Morrissey. Do not allow this. Let's go to that next clip. There's two of them.
Well, Ralseo, independent journalist here in Chicago covering the NATO summit. You know, we're on Michigan Avenue, and we saw two plainclothes officers walk out of an undercover squad car. I decided to take a picture of it and walk up to them and see what would happen. And this is the footage that we got.
The plainclothes officer,
why are you taking my picture?
Because I just wanted, we're just trying to document this weekend event.
I don't want you taking my picture. You understand that?
It's a public sidewalk, sir.
Yeah, it's a public sidewalk.
I don't want you taking my picture.
Okay. I understand, sidewalk. Sir. I understand.
So you can take my picture, too? Or... we were just wondering, it was interesting seeing plainclothes officer, you guys coming out of the undercover car. So we're just trying
who
to...
with?
Who am I with? Chicago.
You realize if I get shot someday because of this stupid being on the internet or wherever?
Get shot, what, by a terrorist?
You never know.
What terrorist?
You never know.
What terrorist? The domestic terrorist?
I got your
you
picture.
Okay. I'm fine with that, sir.
You got my picture?
Who are you with?
Myself. Who are you with?
Who are you with? I'm telling you, get the camera out of my...
I'm not in your face. I'm clearly 5 feet away from you.
You guys have something to hide. It's okay, but we're not doing anything illegal.
Keep it up.
Public sidewalk.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. We'll go to the next clip in a moment. Again, this is the essence of tyranny you're witnessing right now. Now, remember Luke in Chicago where the guy's going, I don't like you taking my picture. I'm going to call you in as a terrorist. No, you're not, but you're going to go away for a while. And I know they say sir to show how out of control they are, but I mean, you shouldn't say sir to some sack of crap nerd wimps trying to act tough to intimidate everybody. But that's who they are. They're the worst in society that can't get a woman who are nobodies. They go join the system to dominate and hurt us and tell us in America, in Illinois, they've had the state go down to towns and try to put people in prison for life for filming police. Now, that isn't criminals. I don't know what is. That shows how sick and reprobate and bankrupt these people are. Let's go to the next clip as the superintendent of police absolutely throws a hissy and runs like a vampire at high noon when he's asked about false flag provocateurs.
Will the Chicago PD be using agent provocateurs, police officers dressed up as block anarchists like we've seen in other large demonstrations across the country?
What?
Will you be using police provocateurs, agent provocateurs dressed as black bloc members during the NATO demonstrations? Because other police departments have done that at the NATO and G8 summits to instigate violence.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Agent will you have...
happened in Montebello.
All right, guys, we're done. I'll see you. See you.
Guess that wasn't a good question to ask.
You see, these guys think they're part of the inside, some little police chief ingesting fluoride, he's probably got a, kid at home that's autistic, statistically. He's soft-killed, he's already gone. But it doesn't matter, he's let in on the little secrets. He's like, superintendent of police in Chicago, let me tell you, he probably hangs out with Don Corleone every day. I mean, this is amazing. Most corrupt city in the U.S.,
I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm getting out of here right now.
Hey, why don't you join humanity, man? Really, you're older. What is having a mustache and a police outfit done for you? People kiss your butt at the steakhouse? Okay. Before you know it, you're going to be 75 years old with terminal cancer. And back then, you know, back in the day, which is right now, don't you want to look back and wish you'd have done something right now? All these years later. But it's not all these years later. You've got a chance now to do something. Teleprompter-free news. One more little giblet here. Secret interpretation of Patriot Act will remain secret. Federal courts are now saying, well, we're going to say we can secretly arrest you and disappear you and break into your house and stuff. And we're going to keep that ruling secret, too, because it'll make us look bad. I mean, boy, we talk about the Germans. How did they let this happen in their country? How do we let this happen to ours? I have a quote here by Mother Teresa. Being unwanted, unloved, uncared for, forgotten by everybody, I think that is a much greater hunger, a much greater poverty than the person who has nothing to eat, Mother Teresa. That's right. And we're here for people under assault by the New World Order. Not because we're good, not because we're special, but because we're red-blooded and just want to live and survive. I want to find others that want to survive and be decent. We don't hunger after raping children and stealing property and dominating people and telling people there's no First Amendment. We don't hunger after selling deadly prescription drugs. We don't hunger after endless wars and black uniforms and cameras and power because we have power. And the only crime of good people is that we don't use our power to smash and crush the maggots that are the New World Order. We're going to come back with an incredible woman, Cybele Edmonds. Straight ahead, one of the biggest whistleblowers in modern history, probably the biggest. I mean, words cannot describe this. Witness to the criminals that run our government, running Al-Qaeda and staging 9/11. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Poisonous and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code, water, to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. Welcome back to this special edition of InfoWars Nightly News. At the end of this next interview, we've got something really special coming up, so be sure and stay with us. But right now, we've got something incredibly important. They call Daniel Ellsberg of the Pentagon Papers, the most famous and most important whistleblower in modern U.S. history. Well, he just leaked some CIA RAND Corporation documents that the war was being lost in Vietnam and was really just about war profiteering, and so they wanted it to keep going forever, and the objectives that they had claimed to bring freedom had nothing to do with it. It was about opium and a lot more. Quite frankly, what Daniel Ellsberg talked about pales in significance to Cybele Edmonds, a FBI translator going over top security clearance NSA intercepts. She went to work for him 3 days after 9/11, and she looked at intercepts from the mid-90s right up until 9/11. And what she saw blew her away. She went to Congress and was gagged. The information that she was able to see confirms everything that we've reverse-engineered on the outside, that 9/11 was a synthetic false flag staged event. Al-Qaeda is a creation of Western intelligence to menace the West so they can take our liberties, but also bring down other regimes in the area that try to be more sensible and build up their society. The jihadis basically are a group just turned loose by the globalists, the banking interests that dominate our country and Europe, to destroy Arab and Muslim nations that try to build up. And that's the whole history. You know, they admit Mujahideen was founded by the CIA, but it's a lot deeper than that. Look at how Al-Qaeda has been used. You know, one thing Bush said was the terrorists attacked us because they hate our freedom. And the people with Bush and now Obama have destroyed our liberties and our freedoms to a cartoon level. I mean, it's so off the charts. It's like a comic book or something. NDAA, secret arrest, light posts that listen to you, drones in the skies, TSA, molesting people. I guess the terrorists really did attack us because they hated our freedom. The military-industrial complex controlled by foreign banks, they attacked us through their proxies that took the blame because they did hate our freedom. It's actually true. The terrorists did attack us. It's the criminal elements of the government and the megacorporations who are the terrorists, and they do hate our freedoms because our freedoms and our Bill of Rights and due process would put all of them in jail for the insider trading, the trillions in banker bailouts, and the looting and criminality we see right now. And all over the world, an iron curtain of tyranny is descending over nations under the guise of 9/11 and terrorism. But in the front of the paper, not even in the back, they admit Al-Qaeda are heroes in Libya, funded by NATO, the CIA, Mossad, and others, and now in Syria. The U.S. Ambassador Rice to the U.N., she said 2 weeks ago, she said, Assad, there'll be more bombings of your government buildings if you don't step down. And who's bombing them? Al-Qaeda, trained in Turkey and other areas and brought in by the United States, the so-called U.S., the criminals that have hijacked us. And all this is done in our name. The lady we're about to talk to is an inside whistleblower who witnessed this, and they threatened her with jail time for violating national security. That national security now means their criminal actions. If she exposes who Al-Qaeda was really working for on 9/11, and she has a new book out that we're going to be telling you about as well, but even the ACLU calls her the most classified woman and one of the biggest whistleblowers in history. And again, we have to pray for her and support her and get her book because she is right now facing the potential of them threatening to come arrest her for publishing this book. Cybele, good to have you on with us.
Thank you for having me on again, Alex.
Well, we had you on the radio yesterday, but now I just want to sit back. And I've got some questions later, but in the next 15 minutes or so, you've got the floor.
Okay. Go ahead. Start with a question, and I'll get
going. Well, just tell people how it all began. I mean, because last time I directed the questions. In this interview, I want you to be able, you know, if you were addressing millions of people, which you are, I'm asking you, what would you say to them? What's most important in your huge story that's been confirmed?
Well, the most important thing is, what is our government doing? What has it been doing? And why they have been covering up what they have been doing for so long? Because, you know, if you're not engaged in something really wrong, outrageous, you won't have this need to cover up. You won't have to classify 5 million documents every single day. That's what they do. There are billions of documents. These are government documents. This is supposed to be the government of the people, for the people, by the people. So if you have billions of documents kept secret, if you have the government who issues gag orders on government insiders who come forward and dare to report on government's own wrongdoing, criminal operations, criminal activities, waste, fraud, abuse, how can this government be a government of the people, for the people, by the people? You have all these classifications, all these cover-ups. You have gag orders. We have had, since Obama became president, we have had 7 government whistleblowers prosecuted. Look, even Dan Ellsberg didn't go to jail. And guess what? Outside Dan Ellsberg, we haven't had a whistleblower that has been indicted ever. And just in this short period, we have had this president, the so-called liberal president, that has convicted 7 government whistleblowers. Their crime? Coming out, letting the public know that their government is engaged in criminal activities all over the world and here in the United States. Whether it's torture, whether billions of dollars. Look at all these people who can't afford in our country to pay for their medical bills, okay? Look at the state of our schools, our libraries. And our government, with all this deficit that we have, Alex, you know it. I mean, I don't want to be preaching to the choir here. Wasting every month billions of dollars. You know why? Because it is not accountable. One of the examples I give people is, if you witness a crime, you know, murder, burglary, what do? Usually you go and take out your cell phone and you call the police. What if you witness your government, the police, is committing some heinous crime? Who do you have to call? If you look at the federal courts since 9/11, find one case where the federal court has not sided with the government and helped the government cover up, whether by accepting secrecy and state secrets privilege or just plain going and indict a whistleblower.
And they have a name for that. It's called tyranny. Please continue.
It is. And you know, when we come, whether we the government insiders who have come out and they say we blew the whistle, we basically told the people what we saw being done to our national security, to our welfare, national welfare by our own government, that If you come out and say it, you say it in your show every day. I say it, right? They call us the radicals, the nutcases. These are the marginal people. There are 9/11 crooks. Oh, the other one is a conspiracy theorist. They have now put millions of Americans in this bucket with the help of the mainstream media. And I always add, Alex, with the help of the alternative, quasi-alternative media. A lot of people think, oh yeah, well, I'm not reading Washington Post or New York Times. I am reading so-and-so. Go look who is funding so-and-so. It's actually on their website. If it says Rockefeller and Soros and Carnegie, are you reading alternative views and news? Are you under that illusion? So when I say with the media, they are, because more and more people are waking up. And the number is increasing, the number that our government and our media designate as nutcases, conspiracy theorists. That's what we are, millions of us. You know, it's like the story of this king and this poisoned well. And those who refused to drink the poisoned water and didn't go crazy were being pointed out to and say, you know, people, majority, 95, look at these crazy people. Well, we haven't been drinking the government poisoned water. And because of that, we are being persecuted. We are being marginalized. And this is what this book is about. A lot of, unfortunately, whistleblowers, and this is also by design, by many of these nonprofit organizations, industrial complex, because they have become an industry. Millions, hundreds of millions of dollars are being poured by those big 1% into these so-called NGOs. And these NGOs have not secret, open partnership with the government. They want whistleblowers to whine and to come out and say, I'm a victim. Look at me. Look what they've done to me. They ruined my life. Did they ruin my life? Yes. Did they fire me? Yes. But what I did with this book was to show people what government tried to do to the American people, what it has been doing to the American people, taking away their right to know. Because as long as people are uninformed, they can go on. They have been expanding. So I put in this one book, the book that government has been fighting for 383 days now. They have been saying you're not allowed to publish a single word in this book. My attorneys and I kept sending letters to them saying, cite a law. Oh, well, we're going to cite the classification. We have to redact and we have to redact everything. He said, well, you had 30 days to do that. We are moving forward. We are armed, you know, by our First Amendment is on our side, and we're going to do it because we have to push it. Every time we have an opportunity, we have to push it. If we just sit and take it, every day is going to get worse. Today, they started by having us remove our shoes, Alex. But, you know, one of the things that for me it's ironic is if you step back and look at people removing their shoes, what do you see? We actually bend over, right? This is like bending over before the kings. There they are, the government batch people. We are untying our shoes, bending over, removing our shoes. Psychologically, they are training us to see them as the superior gods, you know, like the Greek gods.
Well, what about the famous photos in film of people in Nazi Germany stripping down and going into the facilities? It is psychological warfare. You take the shoes off, then it's the belt off, the coat. Now we're going to put you in a scanner. Now we're going to touch you on top of the scanner. Now we're going to go in your pants. Now we're going to make Miss USA cry. Now we're going to take your child, your two-year-old, as they scream away, and we're going to strip search them behind closed doors. Now we're going to take old ladies behind closed doors. We're going to exercise power over you. It's totally clear the terrorists attacked us because they hate our freedom. The terrorists are the people that hijacked our government. But for people that don't know who you are, who have just seen the headlines in the news, recap that, you know, the fact that there you were as a language specialist for the FBI at the highest levels of national security, looking at all these NSA intercepts. You know, you had these degrees, you believe in the system, you said yesterday on the radio. You go to work, and then walk people through the process of telling Congress what happened. And for those that don't know, when you've worked in the national security system, which is actually the national tyranny system, you know, secure the criminal takeover, but you don't know it. When you work in there, now you've signed all these agreements. So you're one of the few whistleblowers to go public at this level, and they are threatening you right now. That's very important.
Because they want to set some sort of a precedence. They did it with my case, Alex, with state secrets privilege. As you said, I took the job, and you know how 20 years, 15 years later, they were so open, our government, saying, oh yeah, we worked with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, including bin Laden, in 1980s, because that was when we had this big, grand Cold War. We were trying to defeat the Soviet. So we forged these partnerships. They ended there. I went to work for the FBI, and I dealt with these operations, investigations of operations that dealt with the time frame 1996 till 2001, these operations, these files, under FBI's counterintelligence and counter-espionage investigations under those two units. And not only me, but with the agents who also knew this, they were also aggravated by this. They were also outraged by this. You could see that, well, the Cold War never ended. Those partnerships never ended. In 1996, you know, until 2001, until right after September 11, we were still partners with the same organizations. You know, these factions from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Egypt. And what we were doing, we were creating, and I believe we are still doing that. I have been out of the FBI, but I don't believe that they stopped these operations and creating terror cells, put them in Central Asia and Caucasus. These resource-rich, oil-rich, natural gas-rich region that used to be part of the Soviet Union. Azerbaijan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan. So it never ended. That partnership never ended. And they were working with Zawahiri, Ayman Zawahiri. They were working with bin Laden. They were working with several other groups that were from Middle East, including governmental groups, including, you know, certain faction of Pakistani government, to very openly create terror cells in Azerbaijan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan. And this went on till 9/11 and then continued until February 2002. February 2002 was when, for the first time, I went outside the FBI, went to the Inspector General's office, I went to Congress. And these operations, if they continued before 9/11 and after 9/11, that story does not match the story of bin Laden is most wanted. We have this war against Al-Qaeda. By the way, they never refer to them as Al-Qaeda. It was never Al-Qaeda. Within these operation files that we had in the FBI, it was never. We actually said bin Laden groups, and bin Laden was plural. It was not only Osama bin Laden. There were four other bin Laden families, some of them from U.S., $150 million, together with certain prince, together with two people from State Department, 1998, going to Azerbaijan for the opening of five mosques, mosques and madrasas combined. These are the religious schools. They were together in this partnership. They established over 300 madrasas and mosques combined, because some of these madrasas are part of these mosques. They built 300 mosques in Central Asia and Caucasus in 6 years. You want to see the documents? They are not hiding. They can classify mosques. Go find out who paid for those mosques, Alex. Not the people in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan and Uzbekistan.
No, U.S. taxpayers. This even came out in the Washington Post shortly after 9/11.
And heroin money. And heroin money. Because they keep giving this story to people about, on one hand, they come and they say currently the opium production, the value, street value is somewhere between $100 and $150 billion, okay? This is Time magazine, these disgusting people, Time magazine. Then they have this picture of these really bearded guys in Afghanistan, you know, with their white shalwar. They are the farmers. So they want to give this illusion that $150 billion industry is operated by these guys. By these guys, most of them can't write, read. They don't have bank accounts, Alex. And that's the picture they show you. This $150 billion industry involves banks, involves military planes, involves private planes to transport, involves labs. Those labs, they need chemicals. Okay, they need equipment. How can a guy in a shalwar produce, let's put 5,000 of them. And if that's the case, the street value is $150 billion, Alex. Well, the GDP of Afghanistan currently is $4 billion. $3 billion of it comes from us directly. A, obviously, it is not in Afghan economy.
Well, Seabell, let me just stop you right there because
that question, though, in the media.
Sure. No, that's important. Let me just stop you right there because you're somebody who was seeing all these communiques and that confirms what we know now. But why are they trying to block your book when it was first being published, when now everything you're saying for 10 years is mainstream news. I mean, it's hidden in the news, but it's like, yes, NATO is funding al-Qaeda to take over Libya and Syria, and yes, opium production is now 93% of world production in Afghanistan from less than 10%, and they have the troops on TV saying we're forced to grow the opium. They don't even hide it. And you're using the old argument, you know, people used decades ago, of hundreds of billions of drug money. It's being laundered by the big banks. Now it's come out that Wachovia and Wells Fargo and all these guys are laundering the money. It's not even hidden. So people always say, well, there'd be whistleblowers if something like this was happening.
We have had several whistleblowers.
Exactly. We've had whistleblowers. This is going on. It's clear what's happening, but specifically, getting into the communiques, because you were on my show a few years ago and you said, when you first started, you know, breaking your gag order, you said the West was commanding al-Qaeda, including senior people, right up until 9/11. So I want you to go into that, and you talked about money, guns, drugs, things like that, the types of things you saw going on.
You said that, and before I get into that, Alex, you say, well, everybody knows, so what's the big deal? 98% of people don't. Alex, you may be fortunate to be surrounded by people who are informed. They are the ones who go to real alternatives. Okay, so let's say you have 1 or 2 or 3 million listeners, who people who go and read, that's it. And take a look at that percentage. I mean, those people who are tuning into Larry King, the ones at the airport, they're rushing through and buying Newsweek and Time magazines. My neighbors, my neighbors' friends, my daughter's friend's mother, they don't know. In fact, you won't believe this. Nobody knows in my neighborhood that who's Sabelle Edmonds. They've never heard of it. Yeah, I was on CBS 60 Minutes. Somebody may recall there was some FBI whistleblower, but you're talking about these issues. And thanks to the quasi-alternative media and the mainstream media, you're looking at a very small percentage who read, let's say, Peter Dale Scott, and they listen to your shows, and they are, you know, they're exposed to what we're exposing. Thankfully, the number is going up. You know, this is why I started my site as well. But with this book, the government knows this is not a mainstream book. This book, nobody can see it in bookstores. You know why? Because the top tier publishers, they said, oh, we believe it will sell very good, but we're not going to touch this. At this point, this case is still in some ways hot. We don't want to be in the wrong side of the FBI. Another publisher said, you know, American people, they like to read in political books like this, one side or another. It's either Republican or if it's Democrat. You're coming and trashing all of them, saying they're all corrupt. They're all awful. Well, that doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, you're exposing, like Ron Paul, the whole phony game, but more and more the people do know the emperor is wearing no clothes. But, I mean, let's be specific. You tried to go through the establishment route. The FBI was supposed to have a month to either cut stuff out or argue that. They sat on a year. Go over the threats you've gone through, that whole process.
Sure. See, I started working with the FBI 3 days after 9/11. This is September 15, 2001. I am naive. I have a master's degree in public policy. I'm a first-generation immigrant. I'm a great believer of this great nation of separation of powers and system of checks and balances, freedom. I mean, I was active. My family, I mean, if you read this book, you understand where I come from. My father was tortured by Iran's Shah, okay? His toenails were pulled. He was a surgeon. He was a doctor. Do you know why, Alex? Because in his possession, he had two books. One of them was Steinbeck, okay? So that landed my father in jail. So I come from that background. I thought I'm in a country, all I have to do, like most Americans, I go and vote every 4 years. Everything seems to be taken care of, like many Americans believe. Just eat hot dogs. It's 4th of July. Yeehaw. Just celebrate. Well, that was the mentality I had when I went working for the FBI. And I signed these documents, classification documents, saying you are getting top secret clearance. Anytime during your life, not only when you're working for the FBI, if you ever write anything that is nonfiction related to the FBI and what you saw here, what you worked on here, has to be vetted by us. You have to submit it to us, the government, the Justice Department, FBI. We'll go through it with our marker. And my God, we are God because we are not answerable to anyone. And we redact. You can't say this. You can't say this. Oh, this is highly embarrassing. You can't say this either. Then you can go fight it in court. Go spend $300,000, get attorneys who are charging $500 per hour, fight for years. I signed it, and I didn't even think about it twice. Today, this is just a side note, Alex, we have over 6-7 million people in America who have, you know, top secret clearance. They don't realize what they have done. These people who are signing because they are contractor with the government, I mean, I know guys who are the computer technicians, but because they do something in Langley, they have to sign this documents, meaning they don't realize that they are signing away their First Amendment right. So those documents are illegal, not illegal maybe, but unconstitutional in the first place. Who says that you have to give up? It's one thing to say you cannot disclose methods of intelligence gathering, be specific, but they are not specific in these documents. Anyhow, I went in there green, idealistic. I started working and I started seeing these issues. Some of them were major bureaucratic bunglings and competence related. Others were pure criminal espionage related. And of course, the most important ones dealt with these operations that were being shut down, and this is FBI's investigation of it by the State Department and the CIA, because FBI wanted to pursue these cases, believe me or not. Not guys like Mueller on the top, okay? They are part of the same corrupt, rotten system. You're looking at agents level. You know, these guys, they felt patriotic. They were outraged. They were, excuse my language, they were pissed that the CIA and the State Department was ruling the FBI, saying...
Well, that's what I found. That's what I found in 17 years of investigating government and corporate crime at every level. Generally, the men and women at the grassroots are really good, dedicated people, and they're either really naive and buy into the false narrative they're given to carry out tyranny, or it's their job and their career, and they got kids, so they just kind of keep quiet but never go up the chain because they won't do bad stuff. I know some Austin police who are really good guys, and they wouldn't do things that they see are, you know, is illegal. And so they got busted down from, like, detectives back down to beat cops. I mean, it's just like the movies. It's just like Serpico. And we just need to realize it's getting worse. The corrupt and the national security states, it's 47. Unlimited money, unlimited secrecy. They're running the drugs, they're running the child kidnapping, they're running it all. And we have all the other whistleblowers from government and FBI agents with the hijackers training at military bases and training. And, hey, they want to fly into buildings. Those were people testing security, we've learned. They were agents trained at bases who were set up themselves. Hey, let's see if you can get to the airport and get on the plane. We know Ada and others have been doing that for months before. I've talked to the head of the U.S. Embassy, Springman, who later learned that they were flagged as Al-Qaeda, but told, let them into the U.S. This is about 10 months before 9/11 when they were coming back in from an Al-Qaeda summit. They thought they were double agents. They were told, oh, they're CIA, let them in. The underwear bomber, gotten on the plane by the U.S. government. That's admitted. C-SPAN, State Department hearings. The latest guy, CIA double agent. Well, first it was, oh, Al-Qaeda. They find out he's CIA. They go, yes, double agent. I mean, it's purely manufactured. And that's what's sick. They're not only killing millions of people in Iraq and overseas and all this. That's bad. But they really do want to overthrow the U.S. and make us slaves as well. So for yuppies and people, they go, ah, so what if we kill the Arabs or whatever, you know, because they're racist or whatever. Understand, folks, good old boys, you're next. Now we're told the threat's domestic. It's the libertarians. It's the Ron Pauls. It's the Alex Joneses. It's the whistleblowers. They don't care about Iraqis. They don't care about Afghans or folks in Pakistan. They don't care about anybody. And they really hate America. These foreign banks that have hijacked America, C-Bell, they, I mean, you've been in the middle of it, but they're admitting Goldman Sachs has conquered Europe. Now they're conquering us through fraud. This is global corporate ruthless espionage where they're attacking everybody and playing us off against each other and making money off all sides. It's full spectrum dominance. And when the Pentagon talks about that, they don't just mean air, sea, land, you know, cyber, all that. propaganda, psyop, info war. They really mean, they even create the enemy. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's full spectrum dominance. And they even soft kill the troops with vaccines, and DU they know is going to kill them. I mean, this is masterfully done.
Absolutely. So these agents, they were on our side. But as you said, the agent that, one particular agent that I worked with, and he was outraged, he was disgusted. In fact, he was the one who actually first tried to expose some of these issues. He said, my wife is not working. Okay. She's a homemaker. I have two daughters, 3 years old and 5 years old. I can't lose this job. Don't you understand? Plus, even if we were to go out and blow the whistle, do you think anybody's going to do anything about it? And this was when he told me, he said, you and I know from our own investigations, our unit's investigations of 12, 13 elected representatives who are criminals, old criminals, okay? They accept foreign bribery. The ones involved in Chicago, two of them, they actually dealt directly with the heroin mob in Chicago, in Illinois. So we know of 13. How many do you think other units have under them that they have exposed? So if you're going to go to Congress and report Sabell, how are you going to determine who's clean? How you are going to determine that? At the time, I thought he was jaded. At the time, I thought he was being too cynical. Because I was naive. I mean, I was naive in every step, because even after my eyes were open, as far as Congress was concerned, I was following these issues in courts because I believed in federal courts. Then my eyes were open after that process. And after that, it was the non-governmental industrial complex, the NGOs, the whistleblower organization, the civil liberties related organizations, and the whole dynamics there. And of course, the mainstream media. So I got crash education, and it contradicted everything I studied for my master's degree in the universities here.
It's all a false web, literally a false habitat of false opposition, false groups. So everything falls in. They've got it all worked out in a multifaceted level, but there's a giant grassroots. For my research, I got to tell you, I'm one of the few only real things that's large and not controlled. Ron Paul, he really won the first primaries. He would be the nominee. He'd be the president. They stopped him.
That happened. They will fight it. They've been fighting it. Out of all the people for the past 11 years, I said I will not even look at any of these politicians except for Ron Paul. He's the only one. He's been the only one. And look, it's the government and it's their mouthpiece, the mainstream media and the quasi-alternative media. The false reporting is just you think that people would see that these people are making a gigantic fool out of themselves. I mean, here, like, he's a second, they skip number two. They go to 3, 4, 5. This tells you how threatened the establishment is from this man, because he is just like the whistleblowers. He's exception to the rule, okay? He's the only one in Congress that I know of. Maybe there are others, but I haven't come across any of them. And he's been like this sore. And they don't know how to get rid of him. So they are trying. They are trying very hard. But also, the harder they try, the more obvious becomes that how threatened they are by this one man, which tells you the power of it. This is why I get upset. Because I'm talking with these people, Alex, and they say, well, you know, what are you going to do? You know, is he going to be either Romney or Obama? And I say, why don't you vote third candidate, an alternative? They automatically say, oh, they're not electable. I say, who says so? And they can't explain. Do you know why? They don't know why they are saying it. They see it on the media. They see it on the newspaper. They hear it every day. Oh, Larry King. Oh, yeah. Even when they say Ron Paul is cool, I like him. Of course, he's not electable. Well, you say that 100 times a day, people are going to start like parrots repeating it. And so when I grill them, I say, why do you think he's not electable? What if you and everyone who says Ron Paul is not electable, a third party, third candidate, independent, is not electable, go and cast a vote and say, I'm going to do it because I'm disgusted with the two anyway. I'm not going to take the lesser of the two evils because what is it? One ranks 100 in the scale of being evil, and the other one ranks 99. I'm going to vote for the other guy who's 99% evil. Great. That's not the mentality we need. What will happen if you cast vote and everybody who says that there is this, again, media, education system, universities, the academia, they repeat it. This is like brainwashing. So people walking around like robots saying, oh, I think Ron Paul is a great guy, but he's not electable. Why? Well, you know, he's just not electable. He's just too different and he doesn't, but they can't really put anything. Then some of the other ones, they say things like this. Oh, because he's racist. I say, really? Leslie, I come from Middle Eastern background. I'm female. What makes you say Ron Paul is racist? Give me an example. They say, oh, I don't remember. I read New York Times said how he's with the skinheads. You see, this is the psychological warfare. This is the PSYOP. PSYOPs are not geared for Iraq or Afghanistan. The PSYOPs happening here with elections in the United States on daily basis. How many people are exposing that we are under PSYOPs? And you know what? When you and I say this, Alex, nutcases, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones was interviewing conspiracy nutcase Sibel Edmonds. And they said, we have this great scheme. Well, it is a great scheme. Because when I hear people repeat these things, when I ask them why and they can't answer, they've been programmed. Who programmed them? You tell me, Alex. You know this.
Well, you're right. It's true. And they just use these little throwaway terms. But then you've got things like Building 7. The list just goes on and on. But people are waking up more and more to the fact that they're being lied to. They just feel powerless. And as more whistleblowers go public, slowly but surely, now it's accelerating, more have the courage to come forward. I mean, obviously.
Alex, I don't know. I mean, you are right. More and more people are waking up. I agree with you. But whistleblowers, this man, Obama, has done more damage for these people, truth tellers, to come from inside the government than any other president.
Sure, but why are you going public then? I mean, they wouldn't have special NSA units.
Because I want to set an example, okay? I want to say, stand up, do it. Because some people did it. When I did it in 2002, I wasn't alone. So many other courageous people, they did similar things. I had people from TSA send me documents. I had people from, you know, the DIA contact me, and then I would get some of that. I haven't had that. People are so scared in government. They're saying, this guy jails us because next he's going to start sending us to Guantanamo.
Well, listen, a nation of sheep will be ruled by wolves. And I got sent, you know, I get sent documents. And you know, where they're creating re-education camps and we release them. And, you know what? I say make them start arresting people more. Make them get those camps going. Let's just get this out in the open. They want to grow this slow, Sibel. And that's why I don't think they're going to go after you because they don't want to make you a martyr.
That's very true because they haunt one, put it in jail, and then 6 months later another. This is why I was saying with the mass protest, when I say revolution and pitchfork, people, they think I'm talking about violence. I am not, okay? But people that I have friends who are activists, they say, yeah, we have to do more of Gandhi stuff. Maybe we all get together and have kumbaya and stand on our head and do yoga and stretch. And I don't have anything against yoga. But what would Gandhi do if his daughter is being raped in front of him, okay? For me, I am not being dramatic yet. I have a daughter. She's 3.5 years old. She's my life, okay? Alex, she's my life. And I go to airport and somebody wants to, but I have been teaching my daughter, nobody touches you. Mommy can touch you. Mommy can dress you. And some people go and try to put their hands on my daughter. That is raping my daughter. I mean, raping is not an act that has to involve certain technicalities. To me, that equals rape, okay? And people now are standing back and they're like, okay, I don't like it, but it's nuisance.
No, but listen, they admit it's getting us ready for forced inoculations. It's getting us ready for political arrest.
You know what? I'm sorry. I can't do yoga and do kumbaya and do the chanting and say, hopefully it will change. I go to my ex-professors in universities. You know what they say, Alex? They say, This is American politics. There is this pendulum that swings this way and this way. So it's going to swing back. Yeah, this pendulum has been going one way for a long time. Okay, it hasn't been swinging back and forth.
That's because they're ramming it through in a controlled global corporate takeover.
This is the intelligentsia. This is the intelligentsia that we have here. If our professors, they say, chant, wait for the pendulum swing back that way. And I say, no, grab your pitchfork symbolically, okay? Get out. Go claim back your liberties for your children, for your husband, for your wife, for your parents. Because as a nation, we are being raped every day. That TSA is only one. As you said, what they do in schools, that's another way. What they do, you are talking on the phone and they are listening to you. Everybody now knows it, but they stopped screaming about it. It made this flash, Alex, when NSA's illegal eavesdropping of all American communication came out. 6 months later, it became a fact of life. They rape your privacy on the phone. They rape your privacy on the email. They rape your daughter in the airport. They rape your son in schools. How long are you going to sit and put up with being raped? And every month, like good little sheep, go and pay your taxes and say, I give you the money, rape me, please. And when people say, you're going to stop this, get their pitchfork, get out there and say, we've had it.
Well, look, absolutely. I've studied history, and if people at this point stand up and believe they can change it, then it reverses. But the way we're going, if people give in to the fear, then the tyranny wins, and it's going to be really hardcore. I've analyzed this, Cybele, and I want to get your take on this tyranny. This is a scientific world government eugenics plan. It's a scientific plan, and that's why the pendulum won't ever swing back, because it's being driven by a juggernaut of narcotics money, Federal Reserve money. It's here. They've committed so many crimes in the ruling elite that they're all going to go to prison if they don't win. So they've got to bring in a total technocracy, in their words, and eradicate all forms of human liberty. This is for everything. This is for all the marbles. That's why the Russians, and they're corrupt in their own right, are having to say, Medvedev yesterday, their chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff last week, they said, prepare for nuclear war. You're moving weapons in. You're moving al-Qaeda in to attack us. We're going to have to launch nukes into your Western Europe. The Russians didn't talk like that in the middle of the Cold War, because back then the banks were funding them and it was more of an inside deal. This is serious. And these crazy bankers like Corzine making 40-1 bets in MF Global with people's private accounts, he gets caught lying in Congress. And it's just like, that's the way it is. So, I mean, the elite have done like Hitler, attacking North Africa, attacking Russia, attacking England, declaring war on the U.S. You know, and Hitler so many others in history. We see Napoleon doing the same thing. These guys have some victories, and it's megalomania. Nero went crazy. Caligula went crazy. I'm telling you, Cybele, they have gone nuts. They have gone crazy. The ruling elite doesn't even care if Fukushima's got...
so hubris, because... they are seeing it this way. Who can challenge us? I mean, really. And as you said, it's global. When you're looking, I give you an example with Libya. It is the collusion between, it's the whole gang. It's NATO going and doing its part, coming out. And then now, I mean, go look at just in the past few months, which companies have gone into Libya taking over the oil wells and the oil deals. It's UK and US. And then the banksters who are putting the bills. It's a team. It takes the whole village. It's the village of, you're looking at the military part of it, you know, NATO and the CIA, you know, all the black ops and the mercenaries. That's the military arms. Then there is the money, banking, financial part of it. And then you have these politicians worldwide, whether it's in France or if it's in Germany or if it's in UK or if it's in Australia or here. It's, you know, I mean, people are talking about Bilderberg. It's a club. It's a global club. And the victims are the people of the world. I mean, it's not like, oh, of course, some are far worse victims than in a far worse situation that we are. Because, you know, to turn on the TV, one girl, American girl or boy, baby, child is lost or taken away or abducted or killed. I mean, it's heartbreaking. We are airing it months for months, and they go take the drone out there, drop in there and go take a look at the pictures, the one that mainstream will never, ever, ever publish, ever publish. Since Vietnam, they haven't. They haven't been publishing our victims' pictures. And these charcoal kids, not once a month, every single day, okay? Put those, show those on TV. When we say, oh, we had three drone attacks and we killed three Al-Qaedas, I'm like, okay, how do you determine these are Al-Qaeda? Do they carry IDs, badges? Oh, we got two more Al-Qaeda here. Yo, add it there. Is that how they determined they were Al-Qaeda? Or before they shoot them, this guy walking around waving Al-Qaeda flag, wearing Al-Qaeda badge? Come on. Who says these people that we are killing, three of them were Al-Qaeda? Prove it. You never see that. When you read newspapers, I wrote a piece about this on Boiling Frogs Post. Every day we are killing so many Al-Qaedas. Who says they are Al-Qaeda? Mainstream media seeks what kind of evidence, okay? What makes them Al-Qaeda? And all those little babies, children, just count the numbers, show them every day to the American people.
Well, listen, Cybele, I have talked to high-level people at CNN and Fox, as well as MSNBC over the years, and they've told me it's exactly like you say. I've talked to high-level people. They tell them, listen, you want to pay for your kids, you want your $1 million a year, shut up and don't criticize the system. And when they do stuff, you laugh about it and act like you like it, or you can get your stuff and your contract's gone. And they point blank tell them, I mean, the ruling class and even the mid-level minions, a lot of them know what it is, and they've just decided, well, okay, we'll do it. But they don't understand history. Then the worst of the worst compete and get in control. And it becomes a synthesis of pure evil. And pretty soon the worst of the worst are in. And every culture does this, from the Aztecs to the Babylonians to the Nazi Germans to the communists. Every culture, when this corruption thing happens, it rolls downhill until they're ordering the firstborn young to be given to the government as an act of fealty to be sacrificed. I mean, most cultures, the government would order your firstborn killed as an exercise of power. I mean, that's what human sacrifice was just a raw exercise of power by the priest class. And that's what this is. I mean, it is, I've studied so much history and anthropology and sociology and archaeology and primitive cultures. And when humans go bad, we really go bad. And a new dark age is here. And it's whistleblowers that have the light of liberty in their hearts and minds and eyes, Cybele, that are going to lead us out of this. And I hope and pray your courage is a example to others, because we have nothing to lose. There is no future for our children if we don't beat this. So just commit to it, own it, love it, stand up, and you'll truly be alive. I bet, Cybele, even though you've been through all this persecution, that you feel more alive than you ever have before. Now, I'm throwing that out there because I know I do. Compare to yourself, say, 11 years ago, what type of person are you now?
Despite all the sufferings and everything, I believe today I'm a stronger person. Some people would call me more cynical. I would kind of call myself more realist, okay?
More alive.
And more alive.
More awake.
It is. And one other thing, you know, and this is one of the things I tell people who accuse me of being unpatriotic, saying things like this, criticizing U.S. government. I say, you know, today if they were around, let's say if we had Thomas Jefferson, he would be on no-fly list. He would be one of the first to be picked up under NDAA and placed in Guantanamo. You know, just like, you know, what you're talking about, Ron Paul, Thomas Jefferson would be considered domestic terrorist. That's the kind of a government.
No. I have FEMA on video teaching police that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and Benjamin Franklin were bad. They actually say to cops with a straight face. And I've given the number out when I've played that video on the radio and TV, and unlimited police call in and go, yeah, we got that exact training. They sit there and they're watching the cops to see who says that's wrong and putting them on a list, and they don't get promoted. If you don't hate George Washington, you don't get promoted in the police force now. I'm not kidding.
I have a whistleblower, air marshal, okay? And he said it's part of the policy there for air marshals, and it's for the rest of TSA, but he knows about air marshals. If they indicate that they are libertarians, they are there for Libertarian Party, they are not granted clearance. They make other excuses not to give them, but they say, and this is the Department of Homeland Security, those who believe in libertarian parties are terrorist anarchists. So therefore, they have to lie. They say, you know, they're independent. But if they find out that you're libertarian in terms of the big L, you know, I have libertarian leaning.
Again, you just dropped a bombshell here. We always think of discrimination as sexual or racial.
Get this air marshal on your show. I believe I can persuade him. Decorated veteran. He's been, you know, before with the military. He got disgusted. He got out about a year and a half ago, and he is a little L libertarian, not the party, but he's libertarian minded. But this is, and he's not lying, and I believe I can persuade him. He will come. And as I said, he's decorated. He's a very respected individual, and he hasn't been really public before. But that's what they won't hire you. They won't give you clearance.
Well, let's get him on next week, because I was just going to make the point. We think of, and the media harps on, discrimination is racial or religious or sexual. And sure, all that goes on. Instead of thinking, okay, Obama shut down coal power plants that his buddies didn't own, but he gave waivers to General Electric, or he gave waivers to 2,000 companies to not get health insurance for their employees, but the little hamburger shack that can't afford it, they have to and go out of business. That's the real discrimination, and I've been told that, but that's a big national, that's a Pulitzer Prize that needs to come out, that if you're a libertarian or you're a Ron Paul supporter, you don't get clearance, you don't get the job. They use that national security state, and now they're saying if they put you on a no-fly list, no judge, no jury, that you won't be able to buy a gun. I mean, this, the national security tyranny isn't just going to let the crooks do what they want now. Now they're going to tell us in the national security state, we can't leave the U.S., we can't fly, we can't have a job, we can't travel. It's not just going to be the feds that get blackballed if they're not tyrants. It's the general public, Cybele.
It certainly is. And, you know, one of the other examples I like to give people is, I would complain about TSA, write about it. And remember that lady, that old lady whose diaper had to be removed? She was humiliated. You remember that case, right, Alex? And I tell people, I bet you one day, 1 hour before that incident happened, that lady, if she would have heard me talk about it, or you, Alex, would said, oh, well, we had terrorist attack. These men, young men are doing their jobs, until it happened to her. And then she stood up and she said, this is tyranny. This is despicable. This is humiliating. Do we have to wait for these things to happen to every single one or majority of our people? Can't we just watch others and say, that's like happening to me or to my kid? Why do we have to wait until it happens to us?
You're right. This has been an epic discussion, and I want to have you back, and I'd love to have you on via Skype, and then the other guy on the phone, or both of you on Skype. I would love to have that whistleblower on, and other whistleblowers you'd like to bring forward, because I'm not scared. I'm only, not because I'm a tough guy. I've studied history. I'm scared of giving in to these people and the world they're going to create for everybody. And we only have the liberties we have because people fought hard for them. And I know there's good people in the government and corporate America. I know they're everywhere. Sometimes I paint with a broad brush because the system itself is broken. And I'm tired of saying, oh, well, there's some good people, and but there's some bad or good apples, bad apples. The bad apples are all at the top. So the whole system has been taken over. And now Newsweek and Time say the Constitution's bad and it did this. No, we got rid of it and we didn't defend it. And we let them eat little holes in it because, oh, it was just a little bit. Now it's all gone. It's running like blood out of us. This country's going into shock. We're dying. And this is an epic moment. We've got to stand up and say no, or we're going to lose everything. The criminal element is robbing everything. They seek, in their own words, a post-industrial world where they use poverty as a tool of control. This is scientifically deployed and developed evil. They admit it in their own words. The think tanks, you know, write this stuff like we're not reading it, because the general public is asleep, mesmerized in this false paradigm. But there can be a chain reaction. It's already begun through people like you, Cybele, and others, and we're going to continue it, and your courage is a beacon. 2-minute closing comment.
Well, this, you basically cited the reason of why, after all these years, I decided to challenge the government and come out and write this book, Classified Woman. I wrote it, I challenged not only the government, I'm still challenging them. I challenged the establishment, the 1%, the corporate, mega corporate publishers. And right now I'm challenging the mainstream media and the quasi-alternative. You were gracious to give me the forum and let me talk about these issues. tell people about this case, about what it means to our country, about Classified Woman, the book, and they're watching you, Alex. I think a lot of people, those quasis, they are currently outraged because they wanted this, like many other issues, many other cases, to just die down, go unnoticed, so they can go and sell these fantasies to people, all these baloney fantasies. So you're challenging. You've been challenging them every day. I wrote this book to challenge them. I am challenging it. People who get this book, Classified Woman, and read it, when you get it, you're getting directly from me. There are no other publishers. There are no corporate. There is nothing. It's an independent publishing. It's from me. It's the truth. It's nothing but the truth. That's why the government doesn't want it. By reading it, by telling other people about it, you are challenging it. And as Alex, you have been telling people, we can't sit and wait. It's good to like Gandhi. I like Gandhi. We can do yoga. We can do deep reading. But these are the drastic times. And we need to really, really get up and take action. And don't say it's futile. You know, don't say there are two candidates. Don't say there are candidates that are not winnable. Don't say that, because when you say it, that's when they win. I don't care if that candidate, the third party candidate or the third person, the independent one, gets 18%, it gets votes. Maybe this time that person will get 20%. And that may be the cause for next time to get 40. Do it. Don't futile. It's not futile. If most people get up and do it, then it won't be futile. That's my closing statement.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely. Resistance is victory. And as Mark Twain said, in the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated, scorned, and feared, but in time when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And you are somebody doing it when it costs a lot, so she is a patriot to the human race and to truth and to the incredible things these criminals are doing. People are waking up to the drug war. Even Pat Robertson says decriminalize drugs now. Humanity will move against these tyrants, and as all of us who are small do small things or big things like you're doing and I'm doing or others are doing, it comes together and creates a tsunami of unstoppable information, and that's happening now. Believe me, you say your neighbors don't know who you are, because that's because you've been in mainstream media mainly, you know, over the years, just little snippets. With what I've done at the level I've reached, it's not, oh, I'm bragging, I'm big. Believe me, the system knows how big we are. They try to ignore it. That's fine, because that's a badge of honor for us. But I go out in public anywhere in the world now, anywhere, and it's not one out of 10 people saying hi to me like it used to be. It's one out of two or three, but they all feel alone. I went to the Texas beach, and I'm not even on that many stations in Texas, even though I live here, and it's what happens in other parts of the country too. For Mother's Day with my parents to camp out, and the car parked to our left was listeners, and the car parked to our right, and people driving by would see me with my children in the surf and pull over, and the park rangers knew who I was. And that shows, but one group was awake, the other group were tyrants, and I think were harassing us, but the point is that there's a war going on, and every little thing we do is bullets downrange in the info war. So I tell people, just start fighting. You see tyranny, speak out against it. Call it out. And when people try to ninny at you or peck at you to shut up, get in their face. I mean, this is a time to be aggressive and to be confident and to be focused. Cybele Edmonds, thank you so much. And thank you for challenging their gag order and putting your book out.
Thank you. Greatly appreciated.
Wow, amazing. Wow. Thank you. We'll have to get her back on in the near future. We're going to go to break and come back with the cartridge box. You know, there's many ways to vote. There's the ballot box. There's the cartridge box, the grand jury box. And the globalists just tamper with the computer boxes. But we're going to come back and give you a journey into the fun side of the Second Amendment. I like gun shows on TV. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I like watching some of them. And I watch stuff on YouTube, all the shooter enthusiasts. So we're going to come back with my idea of that right after this quick break, and then that will conclude this marathon edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Don't forget, she's under attack. Get her book and support her. We're under attack. I don't even get into how we're under attack, but believe me, we're under financial attack, a lot of other attacks, and it only makes us stronger, quite frankly. It only makes me get up earlier in the morning and work harder to know how real this is. I was going to mention this, Cybele, but I forgot to do it. You know, when the government calls up and tells you what your wife was just telling you and threatens you and goes, yeah, that's right, we're listening to you, punk, or they call your wife up and say, I see your dog in the backyard, can't wait to cut your head off. Then this has happened before in front of my crew. Like when I was at Bilderberg 4 years ago, same place they're about to have it in Chantilly. It had just ended. We were over there, eating dinner before we got on the airplane. And I was talking to my wife about her family member in the hospital. And it was a private conversation. And then she called back 3 minutes later, very upset. And they were talking about her family member hoping he died and stuff. And going, yeah, we're listening to you. I mean, that's who works for this government at the higher levels. And I know it was all the guys that I'd just seen as their security detail. They were U.S. government, State Department. They think calling up and being mean to an American citizen, a journalist's wife, is cool. Listen, buddy, all you did was give me massive Energon cubes. You understand that? All you did was give me fuel. All you did was recommit. All the stuff, that's nothing. There's 100 other stories. All of that only lets me know how real it is. Believe me, folks, this stuff is real. Okay? This is so real, I can't even explain to you. And these are bad people. And the little minions think it's cute to call up and tell somebody's wife stuff like that. People that call up threaten to cut her head off, stuff like that. Folks, do you want your kids growing up in a country like this? I know you don't care. You're a mercenary. But there's a lot of people in the system who aren't bad. You feel bad when you're part of this for a reason. It's not good for humanity. I see so many cases now where cops or retired cops have their sons and daughters tasered or beaten to death for no reason by police. Folks, all this comes back on you. All this stuff's going to come back on you. Look, you don't have to wait to die to be judged. You can debate all that all day. I've learned one thing. What you do comes back on you. What you do comes back on you. And you can call that God-fearing. It's like you feel the universe looking at you. You know when something's not good. You got to go with that conscience. Okay? That's your inner compass. The globalists want you rudderless. Don't be rudderless. We're going to come back and have some fun. I'll tell you, this is spectacular. This is spectacular. First half's powerful. Second half, spectacular. 15-day free trial, PrisonPlanet.tv. You put fuel in our tank, help us be strong, help the crew be strong and be financially secure so they can work hard and just work hard for liberty, work hard for ourselves, work hard for you. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. I can feel the power of humanity rising. We are going to stomp the globalists right back to hell where they came from. Stay with us.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt. Or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
We've done a lot of things in 17 years of the info war, but I've always wanted to do a gun show for 5 or 6 years. Now they're so incredibly popular, I figured we should start producing every week or every few weeks a local gun show and to show it to the rest of the country and the rest of the world. And our next episode is going to be even more powerful, but this one turned out pretty darn good. And the first half is interesting and informative, dealing with self-defense and shotguns and things, but then it goes into high gear in the second part. So here is the first installment of Brothers in Arms. Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. Viewers know that I am a staunch defender of the Bill of Rights and Constitution, and chief amongst those rights is the right of self-defense that every tyrannical system has sought to curtail. Our country was founded back in 1775, 1776, when the corrupt British Empire attempted to disarm the people.
Lay down your arms! Look at my gun! By God, we will have them all!
Our ancestors fought back, and our wonderful republic, the United States of America, was born. Well, I seek to defend the Second Amendment via the First Amendment, the right of the press and free speech. And that's why I have produced this first installment of Brothers in Arms with two friends I knew in high school here in Austin, the Steiner brothers, and their friend, gun expert and gunsmith, Matt Williams. So here is the first installment of Brothers in Arms, shot and filmed right here in Austin, Texas. This is my idea of a gun show.
I'm Tommy Shane Steiner, and this is my brother Sid. Along with our pal, firearms instructor and gunsmith, Matt Williams, we're Texans and Americans who support and celebrate the Second Amendment, which makes all of us brothers in arms.
We're out here at the ranch, shooting guns, doing what we did growing up. We brought Matt along, who's our gun expert. Did you guys bring anything out to shoot today?
I brought my HK 45. Also brought my shotgun as well as my custom lever gun. I know you brought some guns too. What'd you
bring? Yeah, I brought my my trusty Desert Eagle 44. I got the 338 Lapua and the AR-15.
You boys ready to go throw some lead? All right.
Kicking off the show, we had to go with the staple. Melons on a stick. It's very much like a head on a pike.
I just had to take a couple shots myself at the melons.
The 338 Lapua was my most recent purchase. This is the first chance that I got to shoot it.
Send it. Where are you putting your crosshair?
Make that watermelon move.
Yeah, the shockwave, absolutely.
I think it jumped out of the way.
One thing about this shoot was getting to re-sight in all my weapons.
The interesting thing about the 338 Lapua Magnum is it was the very first cartridge developed for the sniper role. This thing is so powerful and so fast, it doesn't even see the benefits ballistically until it reaches 500 to 1,000 yards. It's an amazing round.
We got melon. Oh, yeah.
Somebody at the last minute had the great idea to bring these hairspray cans out, and we decided to hit them with the tracer round, see if they'd do anything. I didn't really actually think they would catch on the way they did, but we got some pretty cool explosions out of them. The AR-15 was about 2 inches off and had to use a little Kentucky windage. I was just amazed that the bullets, even though traveling that fast, the tracer rounds were still able to ignite the propellant. Actually, you can feel some heat coming off of those, too.
I think one thing that we can agree on is that you shouldn't make bad decisions with a firearm.
No.
You know, and so that's why I think that the training comes in handy, practice coming out to, you know, and honestly, I mean, how can you have more fun than coming outside and, you know, being on a beautiful ranch and just grabbing a bunch of guns and shooting melons and barrels and, I mean, I think we can think
about
propane tanks. Well, you know, we're going to think a lot of things.
I'll have to do that tonight.
This is a .45 caliber RBCD round out of San Antonio. It's a fragmentation round. We're shooting it into clay here to show its dramatic effect. Fragmentation bullets really designed to destabilize on impact, and what it does is, although it doesn't penetrate on a nominal level, which is usually about 11 to 12 inches in a body cavity, it does explode rapidly, and it creates such a dramatic wound channel. Well, it's not even a wound channel, really. It just splits your target in half. So even if it doesn't kill them immediately, they'll die of shock. now we're going to look at what the 338 Lapua Magnum is going to do to this clay block.
There's really not much difference between the 338 Lapua Magnum round and the 45. One cuts it in half, and the other one splatters it everywhere.
At the end of the day, I don't think anyone's writing home to mom after this one. The 4570 is a much slower round than the 338 Lapua, probably half the speed, but it's a much wider diameter bullet offering destructive power at closer ranges.
So if a situation's going on in your house and you don't have time to get out and practice in the field a lot, or your wife doesn't, you think the shotgun is a little better to use?
I think with the right basic instruction, absolutely.
Do you think birdshot would be a good round for home defense?
I think birdshot's actually pretty sufficient. You know, number six load, all the way up to trap load.
So you don't have to worry about actually shooting through the wall and going into your kid's room.
Right.
Why don't we do a demonstration to show the differences between a handgun and a shotgun as far as accuracy and penetration?
Yeah, the shotgun, when he hits the melons behind us, they're gonna pretty much liquefy.
Let's do a little test, see how the shotgun stacks up against the 44.
Let's do it. Pick your poison.
I'll take them both.
There we go.
Yeah, I'll go first. My turn.
Man, the melons are just vaporizing.
I think I like mine.
Imagine what that would do to an intruder.
No right home tomorrow after that one.
No, and for hitting that melon, it didn't hit any of the rest of the... I mean, it's pretty accurate.
It's a backboard barrel.
I got you.
It tightens the pattern, so it's half the scatter. You could actually do surgery at 50 yards.
And also, even though we hit the melon, it probably went on and would have gone through a couple of walls and...
What if I step back 10 steps and shoot a melon?
There you go. Sort of like shooting pool. Just curving around the eight.
There you go.
Within 50 yards, there's not a weapon on the planet outside of miniguns that'll match
a
12 gauge.
And I understand this is a little more bulky to get around. I just think if I have to shoot and I feel like my life's in jeopardy, I would have more confidence.
Full force, man. Absolutely.
This,
absolutely.
Know?
Also, what we see in the 55-gallon steel drum is the difference between a full 30-round magazine fired into a 55-gallon drum versus one shot out of a 12 gauge with double odd buck. Within 50 yards, the 12-gauge double-odd buck has no rival.
And from our own grassy knoll right here in Texas, we shot up this barrel. Would you believe, just like Kennedy's car, only two bullets did this? Yes, they're magic. Next, the propane tank goes sky high. And then, tracers light up the evening sky. All this and more on Brothers in Arms. Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure. And it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
We lined up about 8 Aquanet hairspray cans, and we fired through all of them. Perfect shot, but they didn't ignite.
the preferred rifling, so not all of the tracer bullets were igniting. But that was okay. We just used some Boy Scout ingenuity to get a fire going. We decided to put the fully loaded propane tank inside the barrel.
Notice the fire extinguisher there by the barrel. Now, that was not an accident. We put it there as the first remote detonated fire suppression unit.
Let's look at this in slow-mo. This has got to be a first. Tommy actually shot the fire extinguisher seconds after shooting the propane tank and basically extinguished the fire. And all of it was pre-planned, and it worked. I thought there's something magic about tracers in the evening sky. It's like something out of a science fiction movie. But seeing it in high def, now that's something. Well, that's it for this first installment of Brothers in Arms. But coming up, our next episode is literally going to blow this one away. It's coming soon to the InfoWar. You can see it at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, all the other hundreds of gun shows on YouTube and the web don't have to do disclaimers, but because we get white glove inspected. Obviously, don't do this at home. If you're going to buy a firearm, go out and get some basic training so you know how to use it and have it in a safe manner. All of that is common sense. You almost buy into the nanny state by making that point, but we do want everybody to get some training. It's very inexpensive. It goes on in every town and city. So when you buy a firearm, go and take a basic firearms instruction course. You're going to find it's extremely easy, and then go out and use your firearm routinely so that you get accustomed to using it. And it's like a duck to water. Women are incredibly good with guns, in many cases better than men, but they culturally don't get into it. It's very exciting, and your car is about 100 times more dangerous than a gun. So if you are getting into the Second Amendment and self-defense and getting out of the victimhood mentality, I suggest you go take a local firearms class, get a shotgun for your home, a revolver to start off with, and a concealed carry is great as well, so the system won't harass you. But bottom line, don't try those stunts at home. That's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Great job to the crew. I'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., with the Sunday show live on the radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And Lord willing, back Monday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern.
And I might have a special celebrity guest on Monday for you as well. We'll see what happens with that. That's all coming up on InfoWars Nightly News and on the daily and Sunday radio shows. We're the hardest working folks in media because we love liberty. It's not about being celebrities. It's about defeating tyranny and defending the innocents like we covered in the first segment with the nightmare CPS child kidnapping programs that are going on. If you believe in what we're doing, spread the word about InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars Nightly News. There's a 15-day free trial we're running in perpetuity right now at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. And more importantly, one 15-cent-a-day membership is really six. You can use the same username and passcode. Share it with your friends and family. So get the word out today about PrisonPlanet.tv. The revolution against tyranny, the rediscovery of liberty starts here. It starts with us, but more importantly, it starts with you.